Let the church say amen.
Amen.
Listen to, did you hear what we have to look forward to? We shall rise in the resurrection morning. The words of the song ring so true for all of those who love the Lord, especially those who love the Lord. This morning, we want to take a moment and go to God in prayer. Let us bow. O Lord, O righteous God of heaven, thank you this morning, Lord. Thank you for everything that you have done for us. Thank you for all the things that you shall continue to do for us as we continue to pray and ask you to give us a little more time, O Lord. We thank you this morning, O Heavenly Father, that we have been blessed enough to be able to rise up, get up, and come out to your house, O Lord. We thank you this morning for this local congregation as we come here together to worship thee in spirit and in truth. We thank you for the leadership here and their families. We thank you for those brethren who have taken part in the services thus far and their families also. We pray for each and every member here this morning that and for their families as well. We thank you, Father, and we know that there are some among us who are sick and shut in, and we pray for them that their strength may return to them, that they may be able to come out to be with us again. We pray in particular this morning, Father, for all of those who are suffering the loss of a loved one. We pray for the Davis family. We pray for the McFarland family, of those who have lost loved ones. We continue to pray, O Heavenly Father, that you would give them strength and that you would give them courage to face each and every new day that comes upon them, to let them know and let them to understand that all things through you are possible, O Lord, and that you will give them strength if they but simply seek and ask. Thank you, O Heavenly Father, for those parents who are raising their children this morning in the right way. Thank you this morning, Father, for each and every one who's under the sound of my voice this morning, that they may continue and do right and continue to do right in their walk with you, O Lord. Father, we thank you that one day a long time ago you sent your son Jesus up to the cross. He hung, he bled, and he died on yonder's cross. And we are so eternally grateful that our lives were delivered to us from sin on that day, O Lord. We thank you, O Heavenly Father, for everything that you do for us. And we pray for those this morning, Father, who are leaders in this world, that they may do the right, make the right decisions and do the right things, and especially that they not hinder us from our worshiping you in spirit and in truth. Thank you, O Heavenly Father, for all the things that you have done once again for us, and may we continue to receive your blessings. It is in the name of your Son, Jesus, we continue to ask all of these and other blessings. Let us all say, amen.
Amen.
This morning, from the sixth chapter of the book of Jeremiah, in verse number 16, the Bible says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways, and see and ask for the old path. Where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein." This morning we want to talk about the old paths. We want to talk about the old paths this morning. There are some things that we are better off without changing. For instance, it may be coming one day, but I myself hope I never see it, that they say that we may have flying cars. And I certainly hope that I never see these flying cars, or perhaps they're even talking of people strapping on backpacks that it will enable them to become airborne. I'm all for progress, yet I believe that some things are better off the way they are. God's word is one of those things that man should leave alone. He cannot change it anyhow. If he does, it would no longer be the word of God, but instead the word of man. Today, I believe the old ways when it comes to religion, and I believe those are still the best ways. I believe that the old ways are what we need to get back to, and I think we need to get back to an old-fashioned home. Many may remember the ways of our parents. If you're a little bit older, you may remember how our parents used to We all used to sit down at the table, not only to eat meals, but for talks about everything from religion to how everyone's day went. This This, of course, was before computers, before iPads, iPods, e-readers, and iPhones. The text speaks of how that stopping or staying or standing in the ways ask for the old past. Some may not like to hear it, but I have to put it out here anyway. If we are going to follow God's word and have a family, it needs to be set up like it was instituted back in the Bible. In Genesis chapter 2, around verses number 23 and verse number 24, Adam said, "This is now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman." Why, Adam? Because she was taken out of man. And verse number 24 says, "Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh." Now, I'm not trying to cause a controversy this morning. I'm not trying to stir up anything, but I'm just telling you what the Bible says. The old ways, the godly ways, gives us specifics on who makes up a family and from who. A male and a female. From a male and a female comes children. Now, I'm not saying or I'm not aiming this at anyone this morning. I'm just letting us to know the biblical way. I'm just letting us know what the Bible says. According to the word of God, we must do things the way he said we need to do them. But the Bible even goes a little further in Genesis chapter 3 and verse number 6. I want you to watch this one. "Unto the woman he said that he is God. Unto the woman he said, thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee." Now I know that there are some women who don't like that part. That ruling over part. Does he have to do that? I was asked before when I performed the wedding one time a good while ago. Do I have to say that part or do I have to acknowledge that part? Well, I'm only simply telling you what God's word says. Well, in Genesis, it goes a little further because it talks about daddies too. It has something to do. Dads have something to do as well. In Genesis chapter 18, in the verses number 19, the Lord speaking of Abram, he said, "For I know him, that he will command his children, and they shall keep all the way of the Lord to justice and judgment." In other words, he was saying that I know this father and I know that he will keep his children in check. Wouldn't it be wonderful if God made the statement of that same statement about fathers today? I know him and I know that he will keep his children in check. I believe that mothers and fathers both, not just one, but both of them, should raise their children up in an old-fashioned home environment where the Bible is the real guiding light, not the guiding light that's on TV, but that the Bible becomes the guiding light. Where daddy is the head of his household and mama is there to help, to be his help meet. And the Bible says in Genesis 2 and 18, God made Adam and help meet. He didn't make her to be our servants. He didn't make her to be our slaves. He didn't make her to be our subjects, but he made wives as to be our help meet. An old-fashioned home. An old-fashioned home where men will treat their wives as helpers and not as those servants. Women, you got to do your part as well. You've got to hear what the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, round about verse number 3, where the Bible says the head of the woman, again, is the man. The head of the woman is the man. And I didn't make none of this up this morning. I didn't sit up and draw a conclusion in my own mind. I didn't make it up. I got it from God's word. And just before I move on, I'll add one further thing. On men. Men, if you want to lay with her, you ought to be prepared to stay with her. And if you don't want to stay with her, don't put her in the sights of laying with her. So then, this is how new homes can become old-fashioned homes. This is how new modern today style homes can come back to the old-fashioned way of being an old-fashioned home. Not only should we have old-fashioned homes, but we should have the old-fashioned word of God. You know, God's word never goes out of style. God's word is the same yesterday as it is on today, and it will be the same tomorrow. I'll agree with what some have said when it comes to reading and understanding God's word. Some have said that reading God's word is difficult and I don't really understand it. Well, you need to get some help if you don't understand it. And I can understand why some of us may not understand God's word. I don't totally understand everything myself even either. But there are so many versions of the Bible out there today that you can't help but sometimes become confused. One tells you one thing and the other one tells you another thing. But God's word is real. It's not going to change and it's always going to be real. When we look at the word of God, as we look at the text once again in Jeremiah 16, it says, ask for the old path that we may find the good way. The word of God shall always be the good way. And when we find the good way, the Bible tells us we are to walk therein. Look at the text once again. Thus saith the Lord, stand in the old ways and see and ask for the old path. Where is the good way and walk therein? And ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. The Bible says, ask for the old ways and walk therein, that we may find this good way. And we are to understand that God's word shall always be the good way. And we are to walk therein. The word of God, or the Bible, says in 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse number 11, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man ministers, let him do as the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ. In other words, when you talk about the Lord, you got to make sure you're talking about the Lord of the Bible. There are folk who today say, well, I just can't understand. I can't get a grip on what the Lord means there. Well, you need to go back and study a little bit more. The Bible is not so difficult that we can't understand. We may need a little help from time to time. And that's why we got telephones. That's why we can call up on somebody who knows something or two about the Bible. Someone who can help you guide through the Bible. But the Bible itself has never been so outdated or outrageous that you can't understand it. But see, some folk don't understand the Bible because it's not what they want to hear. It's not what they want to come out of the Word of God. But anything in the Word of God is the old-fashioned truth. In Ephesians 6 and verse number 17, the Bible is called the Word of God is called the sword of the Spirit. When the Bible tells us to do something, we shouldn't look for ways not to do something, but we ought to be looking for ways to do what the Bible tells us to do and not question whether it's the right thing to do. If the Bible tells you to do it, just do it. There's nothing in the Word of God that's going to tell man to do wrong. It does, though, I'll admit, it does let us know that if we do wrong, if we do the wrong thing, there are some consequences, and we can find ourselves making a path straight to hell. And folk don't like to hear that word hell because they don't believe in, when you put in the word and insert the word hell in there, that kind of brings up a bad feeling about folk. But then when you bring up the word heaven, they don't want to do what they need to do to get to heaven, but they want to live like they're going to hell, but don't want to go to hell. Now, if you don't understand that, I simply said this. If you do right, you have heaven in your pathway. If you do wrong, you got hell in your pathway. That's all I said. The Bible tells us just what we need to do in order to get to heaven. Do you remember in Proverbs chapter 14, about round verse number 12, where the Bible says, there is a way which seemeth right to man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. When one has become confused as to the right and the wrong, go the old pathway and let the Lord give you guidance, for it shall surely be right. The problem is never with the Bible, but the problem instead is with us. It's not the Bible. There's nothing wrong with the Bible. We don't need to recreate the Bible. We don't need any new Bible version. We might need some interpretation to help us to understanding a little better. But nobody needs to concern themselves, will we ever get a new Bible? The answer to that is no. God's word is here to stay. It's the same today as well as tomorrow. The Bible is meant to keep us out of hell, not to send us to hell. But it's us. We can find ourselves on a direct path if we're not careful. If we don't study God's word, we can find ourselves looking and headed right straight to hell. The church should be the old-fashioned church. We need to go the old-fashioned way when it comes to church. And I know what a lot of folk are going to say now. A lot of wrong with the church today. Well, I didn't say anything was wrong with it, but obviously I'm going to talk about some things that are wrong with it. When the church has problems, folk like to sometimes get up and talk about things in the church. But I want to go back and talk about, first of all, the prophet Isaiah when he foretold the birth of the church. In Isaiah chapter 2 and verse number 3, the Bible said, "And it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountain and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow unto it." Today that church is in existence, church. That church is in existence, and it's a welcome sight for all who will come to Jesus. It is this institution founded upon Matthew chapter 16 and verse number 18, where the Bible says, "Upon this rock I will build my church. Upon this rock I will build my church." And that's the church of Christ, is the only church that was purchased with his own blood, according to Acts chapter 20, around verse number 28. And as such, we have a duty to preach the gospel of Jesus, in order that we may not become a modern day church, but instead stay an old fashioned church. And I don't mean that our building should be falling down around our head. I'm talking about the doctrine that we teach, and the way we teach should be the old fashioned way. And some of you may not like the old fashioned way because it doesn't involve us setting up an electronic program, maybe. It doesn't involve us setting up computers to have everybody study on computers. Well, I tell you something. They didn't have technology back in the old days. They didn't have technology like we have it today. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with technology. The only thing that's wrong with technology in my mind is that I'm not up on it. But other than that, technology has its place. But the old-fashioned church has a place that should never be moved. We need to be the old-fashioned church presented in the old-fashioned word of God. We need to preach the truth no matter who it hurts. Because if we don't give the truth, the fires of hell will hurt even more. If I decided one day I'm going to preach this morning about chasing women, I'm going to give you the ups, the A's and the B's of chasing women, or I'm going to talk about gambling, let's say. And I gave you everything that I knew about either one of those subjects. Would I be telling you God's truth? I would not be telling you God's truth. I'll answer that for you. I will not be telling you the truth. I'll be telling you some things that I came up with on my own. The Bible tells us that in John chapter 1 and verse number 17 that the law was given by Moses, but grace came where? Through grace and through truth, through Jesus Christ. We must be a praying church. In order to be a praying church, like a church of old, we must pray. And that is to pray without ceasing. We must not simply pray for the sick. All of us pretty much pray when we know somebody is sick. We must be willing to pray about not only those who are grieving, but we also must be willing to pray about church matters as well. Do you remember in Acts chapter 12 where Peter was in prison? What was the church doing? The Bible says, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church for him. Now, I'm not saying, I don't know if I would want to go to church and have y'all pray for me, because some of you may pray that I stay in jail. But the church was praying for Peter that he would get out of jail. And that's what a church is supposed to do. It's supposed to pray one for another. It's supposed to pray. If we were to become like an old-fashioned church, we would pray all the time. We would pray not just some of the time. Some folk just pray when they have a need to pray. But I say we all have a need all the time to pray. You may not think you have a need, but when God woke you up this morning, you had a need to pray to say thank you. When God allowed you to put your feet under your table to eat a bite of food this morning, you had a need to pray. When God got you dressed, allowed you to get yourself dressed this morning, you had a need to pray. God, when He does anything for you, there's all kinds of needs that we have that we need to pray to God for. But see, there are some today who don't believe in the old-fashioned services. Who don't believe in the old-fashioned services. When the old-fashioned services left us, sometimes the churches left us in their old-fashioned ways. There are those who believe we need to have what I call a hook and carriage approach. Dangle something out there so you can get folk in. Tell them you're going to have this kind of thing or that kind of thing so you can get them in. Well, I got news for you. If the Bible won't get them in, you'll never get them in. You'll never get them in, at least not truthfully in. If I told you we were going to have singles night or under 30s dinner tonight, how many of you would show up or how many people would show up to have singles night or under 30s dinner night? But I tell you something. We didn't come here to eat dinner, did we? Nobody wants to say because maybe they're not hungry. But we didn't come here to have dinner. We came here to serve God and to learn the word of truth and to serve God in the spirit and in truth. Or if we say we're going to have specialty days, for instance, we're going to have a day where we're going to go to the field museum or somewhere, and we're going to do it in the Word of God. Well, how are we going to go to the museum looking at exhibits and thinking about the Word of God? We've got to focus on God. That's the old-fashioned way. And just a continuation of preaching, praying, and putting into practice the will of God is what we've got to do. In Ephesians chapter 3, verse number 21, the Bible says, "Unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages." The church must continue to recognize who is really the head of the church. And I go back to Ephesians chapter 5 and verse number 23. Jesus is the head of the church. And that doesn't mean that the preacher is the head of the church. The elders are not the head of the church. They run the affairs of the church, but they're not the head of the church, just like the preacher is not. We need to become an old-fashioned church. And when I say we need to, I'm talking about all the churches, not just simply our church right here. We need to become the old-fashioned church that will keep track of the sick. And I can say that we are doing that here. So I know I'm not talking about us. We need to keep track of the sick. We need to call them or visit with them more. For that is the duty of Christians. In Matthew chapter 25, around verse number 43, watch what Jesus said. He said, "I was sick and in prison, and you visited me not." That tells me that's part of our duty to do is to visit the sick and even those in prison. Now, somebody might say, "Well, what if I just call them?" Well, that's a visit. That's not an in-person visit, but you checked on them. So that's all right. An old-fashioned church will keep religion pure and undefiled before God and the Father. Visit the fatherless and the widows in their distress. Keep oneself unspotted from the world, according to James chapter 1. That's what we got to do. Become an old-fashioned church. But when we follow the Bible on matters of the church, we won't ever go wrong. Now, I did not say that the preacher won't be wrong, can't be wrong. I didn't say that the elders can't go wrong. But all I'm saying is that the members can go wrong as well. But the church itself we've got a diagram of the church or a schematic for the church in the New Testament. And the church, if we follow the New Testament, is not going to go wrong. But we may go wrong. So when you come to this matter, Now, I know I won't have enough time to go through all the things. Time won't permit me to go through more than a couple of things, and I went through a couple of things, but there's one other thing that I must mention. Oh, and this one you're going to love, because it's going to be about giving. And there are some folk who say, well, I give the best of my ability, and I don't have anything else left to give. Well, how many baskets do we pass in this congregation? Just one. And if we pass just one basket, you ought to put the best that you've got in that one basket. And I want you to think about something. How much is your life worth? Jesus saved our lives. So we ought to be willing to give him just what we have, the best of what we have. We were ready to die, but Jesus stepped in and saved our lives, gave us the possibility of eternal life. And I'm coming to a close now. As we continue to serve God and serve him in spirit and in truth, we ought to remember that part of our serving him in spirit and truth is giving. That's part of the services that we must do to do and to be a part of God's church. The old-fashioned word of God, where anytime you find somebody that's wrong, I mentioned that anybody in the church can go wrong. If you find somebody wrong, you need to let the Bible become the mediator. You name the subject, and I'll guarantee you there's something in the Word of God about it already. So I can't do anything that you haven't seen or heard before. Because Ecclesiastes chapter 1 and verse number 9 says, there's nothing new under the sun. So guess what? If I do it today, it's just a different time. It's not that it's a new act or a new thought. There's no reason for us to try to make God say something that he never said. Let's just watch and go with what's already out there. So that's part of the old-fashioned church. Now, I made this a short subject this morning, but there's much more I'd like to talk to you about the old-fashioned church. There's much more we need to discuss, but I'm not going to try to bring it out this morning. I'm just here to tell you a few words about what the old-fashioned way is. But the Bible says, ask for the old ways, the old path, and walk therein. Walk therein. That means that if we do what the Bible tells us to do, then we can be sure that we're walking in the old path. It's just that when we go with the new ways, and the new ways can get us in trouble. If we start doing the new ways, some folk might say, well, we need to have a new outreach program. What's a new outreach program? Well, you know what we call in young men and young women to teach them the Word of God. Well, all that's good. But it's when you get into the other side of the new outreach program. When you get into the outreach program where you're going to start, let's have a basketball team at the church. Get in trouble with things like that. Let's have a date night at the church. You get in trouble with things like that. Because invariably somebody is going to find a way to get out of sight of those who are watching over them. And things begin to happen when boy meets girl and they think they're in strange places. They get a hookup going. Isn't that right, church? And when they get a hookup going, they hook together. And when they hook together, then something happens, and then the parents are going to blame the church for letting this happen. I should have never sent them there. But the church is going to say, well, we had good intentions. It wasn't our intentions that things happened, but things do happen. So we got to be very careful that we stick with the old ways, and the old ways are the ways of the Lord. And somebody may ask the question this morning, what can I do to make sure I can be a part of the old ways? Well, you can come to the Lord by hearing, believing, repenting, confessing, and then being baptized. But just suppose that somewhere a long time ago, you already took the steps to become a member of the Lord's body. Well, what do I need to do if I walked astray? And walking astray in today's times in society has just gotten a little easier. It's gotten easier to do something that you didn't intend to do or something that you wouldn't have done 20 years ago. So you ask God to forgive you. Come forward, ask the church to pray for you. Let the church know that you've been wrong and you want to get right. Let the church know that I need your prayers tonight or this morning. I need your prayers to make me stronger. I need everything that the Lord has to offer me, and I don't quite know how to go about getting it. Well, we'll try to teach you how to go about getting it if you don't already know. And if you need to be baptized, once again, the pool is ready, and we will baptize you as we together stand and sing the song of invitation.